idea on Jamaican Radio was to drop into another country with another culture, another complexion, and say, in effect, take me to your interesting talkers and let ourselves in on their conversation. I'm Christopher Lydon, and I've hosted a lot of talk on public radio in the States. In Jamaica, Parachute Radio was one name for the exercise. To ourselves, we kept muttering the old revolutionary slogan, first, seize the radio station, and then just ask people to call in and talk.
The one thing about us that we cannot deny is the fact that we're African. You look at us and you have no doubt who we are.
I would dare to say that Jamaicans on a whole are extremely sexual people.
Jamaicans are at least bilingual, you know. Some of us love to pretend that, oh, we don't speak patois, you know, it's a bad language, it's broken English. It's not.
We, Jamaica, have been like the eye of the world, really. We have the visionaries.
Could we talk about reggae music since the death of Bob Marley and about the Jamaican dance hall sound today?
The street demands that you must be rough and tough and hardcore and talk about guns. And I don't think that is necessarily the case.
Could we talk about ganja, the forbidden fruit that Jamaica grows best, the weed that the U.S. wants burned in the fields? Good morning, caller. You're on. Tell me about it.
No, ganja is a thing, you know. It's a medical drug.
Yes?
And I cure a lot of Chinese with that.
So you've used it?
Yeah.
For medicine?
For medicine. To me, what ganja does, it teaches love.
Yeah.
In every aspect of life.
Okay.
Right now, my father is 94, and I think he's still using it.
Yes.
Could we talk about Caribbean books and the doors that reggae opened for prose writers today? Writers like our guest, the novelist Colin Channer.
Reggae was always understood to be a living, breathing art that everyday people would use. In the reggae singer found a way to talk about Jamaica in a way that was universal. And that solved a narrative problem for me. How do I write about this place in a way that somebody in Iowa will get it, in a way that somebody in Saskatchewan will get it, in a way that somebody in Tokyo will get it? And also reggae found a way in which to create a kind of storytelling art that fused politics with philosophy, with fun, and also sensuality. In Caribbean fiction before the mid-80s, there's very little attempt to engage the sensual, to look at the sexual and romantic dynamics of people. We don't have, in the reggae tradition, you have the love song. We didn't have the love story in Caribbean fiction until recently.
2 weeks of talk radio in Jamaica was an experiment with a lot of other places in mind. Could we do the same thing in Singapore, Ghana, Uganda, India, Eastern Europe, Russia, the Middle East? I'm Christopher Lydon. Good morning, Jamaica. Tell me about
Could
it.
Could
we show
continues?
Up and introduce ourselves with some fresh questions of maybe universal interest and make a connection? Good morning. You're on. Tell me about it.
Welcome to Jamaica.
Thank you.
Hello. I'm calling you from your hometown. I'm in New York City right now.
Oh, bless you. Could we strike up a local and global conversation at this new intersection between broadcast radio, Jamaica in this case, and the Internet's World Wide Web?
Oh, good morning. I need to make one point. I'm so caught up in your discussion here, you know. I want to ask, from which category of mixture is one declared African or not?
Here was an exchange that flamed up on the mix of elements inside the real Jamaican. African, English, Chinese, and in the case of this caller, an Austrian woman who's married to a man of Chinese and African blood.
My children know that they are African, Chinese, European. And we live right here in Jamaica happily since 16 years, and my kids are very much Jamaican, but are they these Jamaican whom you speak the whole night long to tonight? I don't know if they would listen to it, what they would say after the show.
You know, Peter Tosh is right. Everyone is crying out for peace. None is crying out for justice.
When the Chinese get up and they establish their various kinds of societies and them have them cricket match with Chinese cricket club and Indian cricket club, nobody say, oh, but what's going to happen to me? Wait until the black Jamaican historical fact now. Get up and say, but I want to have a cricket club too. Then there is a problem. The point I'm making is you have a right to claim and defend what you want to claim and defend without my feeling excluded or offended by it. And you therefore have to allow me that space to claim who I am, to talk about who I am, to talk about who the 98% of people who I am, what they've been through, what they represent, what we aspire towards, without feeling isolated, excluded, or offended.
But it's going on within the own people. Why my housekeeper must say she would not wish to work for one of their own, them exploit her too much.
Carl,
I don't know, am I seeing it right or wrong?
Carl, I wish we
had... It turns out you can touch a lot of sensitive subjects on the radio at night. I asked the singer and actor Peter Lloyd how many tourists come to Jamaica nowadays for sex.
I'd say maybe 20 to 35% of the women definitely come here, you know, to find a Jamaican man and experience the Jamaican pleasure. Jamaican men have developed a reputation of being studs. You know, we're supposed to have very large members, you know. We're supposed to know how to satisfy a woman, hit the G-spot.
For Americans who know that they're the superpower center of the world, it may be a good thing to discover that even tiny islands in the sun are full of that we're number one chauvinism. Jamaicans like to think of Kingston as the song and dance hub of the universe ever since Bob Marley's heyday in the world music of the 1970s. Fact is, Jamaica is flooded now with the music of American television. Ernie, I'd like to ask you and Dennis a question that I've been puzzling about. What is the connection nowadays between BET from American television and what's going on in Jamaican music? I wonder, is BET going to overwhelm the homegrown power of Jamaican music? Can Jamaican music still stand up against BET?
Remember what happened in the 50s now, right? Jamaican music, Jamaican recorded music, you know, almost wasn't in existence yet.
Right.
Jamaica was overwhelmed by the rhythm and blues thing,
yep.
Right? And out of it, right, we with our pieces and our bits and our nuts and our bolts, we put together ska and reggae, right? So whatever is happening now, me is going to be like, you know, another well from which to draw on for the new drive of whatever the music is going to be.
The big phrase once in this country was cultural imperialism.
Yes.
And
yes, and more today than ever, I think.
Yeah, but guess what? We have survived them all. We have survived everything. And dancehall is still the dominant music in this country. And that's why I'm not worried about the cultural imperialism, you know. Because so many groups, from time immemorial, anytime anybody needs and something new and them career down, they come to Jamaica.
Jamaica has a world-class crime problem. More Jamaicans were murdered in Kingston than all the Palestinians and Israelis who died in the Second Intifada of 2001. But there are Jamaicans, too, who think they've got a world-class prison solution. John Prescott is Jamaica's corrections commissioner. He's a military man who has staked his reputation on the rehabilitation of prisoners.
The fact is, in 12 months, just under 2,500 of the 4,000 inmates will be out, back on the streets, back in their communities. That could be your neighbor. It makes sense that we use the time that we have these persons with us to use that time meaningfully to try and get them to think differently.
What changes a man in confinement?
You know, there's a... an inmate that said to me, you know, Commissioner, there's two things we want. Two things. I want hope and discipline. And I looked at him hard. And I saw it in his eyes that, yes, this thing can work.
I had never thought of talk radio before as a sort of interactive history channel, but it worked that way on a piece of the Jamaican past that a lot of visitors never hear about. In 1738, 40 years before Concord and Lexington, the rebel and runaway slaves of Jamaica, known as the Maroons, won the first military victory against British imperialism.
Maronage essentially started in Jamaica in 1729. Many people in Jamaica, they took the view that there needs to be a re-enslavement of the Maroons or their extermination. They were not able to do that. They met with successes, but ultimately the Maroons prevailed in keeping their freedom.
But there was a catch. To keep their freedom, the Jamaican Maroons had to serve the plantocracy by hounding down and returning any more runaway slaves. It was a concession under pressure for which modern Jamaica seems to have forgiven the Maroons.
I just returned. I'm a returning resident. I lived in Britain for a long time. And I went there and I am a qualified accountant. Yeah. And right now, although the British control the Commonwealth, Africa, Caribbean, they do not give them a chance to be employed in these firms. Hmm. So whatever the Maroon does is okay with me. The Maroon set the pace. This is what we want. This is what it's going to be.
Night after night, we were hearing that Jamaica's accent and perspective and identity in the world are one of a kind. Maybe there are thousands of points out there, hundreds of countries, each with so distinctive a voice. Joan Andrea Hutchinson is a comedian and a social commentator.
I'm hosting a television program on, education for teenagers.
Yes.
And I chose to wear my hair in a style which had never, ever been worn on television before. It's a style that we call Chiny Bump. I don't know why, because I don't see no Chinese people with them here in that style. But it's like just little bumps in your head, little knots in your head.
Okay.
But you see, that kind of broke the convention because it was not an accepted hairstyle for something like television and that sort of thing. Everybody was nyamming up themselves. You know what that means, right?
No.
When you nyam up yourself, you get excited and killing up yourself over something. My response was simply to write a poem which became the title track of my first cassette. I call it That Bumpy Head Gal. And it simply says, hey, tell me, say me not good enough for your TV screen. Say me offend your eyesight. Tell me, say me is a black, ugly, bumpy head gal. I'm going to tell you, I'm feeling right.
And this was the leading singer of traditional roots reggae in Jamaica today, known as Luciano.
It's the same in which we'd send I and I, like send Brother Bob Marley, King Marley, to come redeem I and I out of Jamaica, Western Hemisphere, you know what I'm saying?
He's the heir to the Marley mix of dance music with Rastafarian spirituality and the conviction that Jamaica has a message for the world.
We in Jamaica here have been those revolutionary missionaries who go out with the music and try to teach the word of righteousness with the music.
Well, these were some of the things we talked about in what we wanted to call, with a tip of the hat to Ira Glass, This Jamaican Life. Paul Theroux might have kayaked across the island. Johnny Apple might have eaten his way around it. At another point in my own life, as a New York Times political reporter, I might have been angling for an interview with the Prime Minister. I liked it much better that we had our chance just to talk with Jamaica through the middle of the night on the radio, until after a couple of weeks they were calling me Christopher, like a new friend, and we all felt we were getting the hang of this universal love of gab in a new place. For the Berkman Center on Internet and Society at the Harvard Law School, we're heading further afield to engage India, Africa, the Middle East. Think of all those places out there, all those possible conversations. Could we talk about it?